Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Sports City. It's your boy TP Thomas back at the helm. Welcome to the cookout here in Sports City. We got so much to get into that spilled over from yesterday. We got topics that we could throw in from today, but it's all based upon you, the caller. Call in, get your topic out there. Thank you to everybody that's been checking us out, downloading the show on iTunes, helping us do our thing here in Sports City. I'm already getting emails and texts at the same time talking about y'all back in the kitchen, y'all doing y'all thing. Well, we outside with this one. We are not inside. We are outside at the grill. I done took off this blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside the kitchen. Timeless is alive. Fort City, welcome back to the cookout.
I'd be caught in this life, let's celebrate with a toast and get lost in tonight and make it all light up. Wait until the sun goes down, we gon' make this bitch light up. Even when the sun goes down, I'ma make it go.
Ow, hoes turning heads like owls. I'm the man of the owl. Triple entendre, don't even ask me how. Con Edison flowing, connected to a high power. Y'all can miss me with the money talk. The smart money's on hold, fuck what the dummies talk. I don't do too much blogging. I just run the town, I don't do too much jogging. The summer's off, the winter too. Top down in the winter, that's what winners do. And to these niggas, I'm like Windows 7. You let them tell it, they swear, cause they invented you. And since no good deed go unpunished, I'm not as cool with niggas as I once was. I once was, cool as the funds was. But these bright lights turn me to a monster. Sorry mama, I promise you wouldn't kill me. But I would've went insane had I remained the same me. Fuck me, this is true. All I got is this money.
Who would've thought I'd be caught in this life? Let's celebrate with a toast and get lost in tonight and make it all light up.
The calling number is 917-889-9592. You got the next 90 minutes locked and loaded with Sports City. Y'all could have been anywhere else in the world, but y'all are here with the chefs. And, of course, this is the cookout, so it's based upon you to call or get in here, throw your topic around. But I'm not going to let it go too crazy. I'm not. I thought about it. No, I'm joking. It's all the life in Sports City, man. It wouldn't be hot in this kitchen if it could. Nobody throw their recipe or their things around the kitchen. But I took far too many punches on the chin yesterday, and I didn't even get to a doggone topic that I had on sleep. So it's good that that happened because it's the cookout. You know what? I'm going off. No, I won't. But I'm going to try and get as many of the topics that I had from yesterday involved in today and also as many topics that everybody brings to the kitchen. I have on their mind to talk about here in the kitchen. Calling in by way of the Virginia region, we have Tommy B in the building, my co-host, my brother from another mother. Nah, he's just my brother. I won't even say that another mother. I don't want to sound like everybody else. But Mr. Beard, welcome to the cookout. How are you feeling this evening?
I'm good. After the news that just broke, came out that I just seen, I'm happy as can be now.
Okay. And also, I guess he didn't get enough from yesterday. And he's been letting me know that he needs to check us out more. But now he's letting me know that he's coming in. So we have Logan back in the building. Welcome to the cookout. How are you feeling this evening?
I'm good. I'm headed home from work. It's good to be here. Should be home in about 10 minutes, but I'm going to tune in anyway.
Okay. Well, we get quite a good feedback from you. So whenever you want to speak, I guess just mute in and mute out. I don't want to be responsible of muting you, you know, muting you in and out. I know you want to speak out or say something, so I'll let you get as much as you can here in the kitchen. I'm not going to limit you because it is the cookout, so this is anything goes, even though yesterday they took over the doggone wrap-up like it was the doggone cookout. They took it over. Well, I'm putting a stop to all of that madness. I got to get my topics in as best as I see fit. So, all right, so the first topic I do want to get to, right, and I know some people might not care about the situation, but I want to see how people feel about this. Arian Foster signed or is intending on signing with the Miami Dolphins, in which he was supposed to meet up with the Miami Dolphins and the Detroit Lions chose not to even try to go see the Lions and stay put in Miami. Now, with this move with Arian Foster going to the Dolphins, do you think this helps this offense where they have a legit running back if he stays healthy? If he stays healthy, that is the big, you know, hashtag in front of this guy, you know, or and also the way that Landry came off in the past season or so, you know, in the shadows of what him and Odell Beckham have been able to do coming into the league has helped them out. But the big question that I have altogether for this Miami Dolphins team is, when looking at this offense, can Tannehill actually be that component to get these guys over the hump? And I don't want to just already throw them to the fire and say, do they win the AFC East? Because I know that's what's up for grabs, and I know that's something that they talk about, you know, in training camp and preseason and, you know, building up to the regular season. But is it in the, you know, the king of the castle, the head of the gang, however you want to look at it, being Tannehill, outside of this interesting signing that they have coming in with Arian Foster, is this the direction that they need to go in? Tommy, I'll start with you first.
I like this for them. If, hashtag, he can stay healthy. If he can give them at least 14, 15 games, I'll even say 13 games, I like this signing. I don't like Tannehill. I still say they need a quarterback there. Defensively, I think they'll be okay. Running backs, they seem to be okay now. I just don't trust the quarterback in Tannehill. I'm sorry. I just don't.
Okay. Logan, how about you? Your thoughts? I mean, this is the hometown team, even though he's not a big Dolphin.
A big Dolphin.
He's from down there in the South Beach region, or Florida,
let me just say. But
do you think this move with Arian Foster going to Miami helps him get over the hump, or are there other questions there with his durability, him staying healthy, you know, the defensive issues on the back end at least in that secondary, they lost Grimes also? How do you feel about it?
I'm with Tommy on this. I think if he can stay healthy, I think it's a great signing, but Tannehill is a lot like back in the day, Ja'Cory Harris at Miami. He's very inconsistent and shows up and plays practically when he wants. So that's my thoughts, honestly.
He just had to say Ja'Cory Harris, like just ripped my heart out of my chest. Like, why? Why do you say him? Look, okay. Now, and Tommy knows because he's been hearing me talk about Tannehill to everybody that comes in here and screams Dolphins this or AFC East that, and, you know, he's a quarterback that could be middle of the road and improve. Now, I'm actually going to look, you know, at the brighter side of the picture. I do believe that he can improve. I do believe that he's still raw. He's a, you know, he has good potential. But just like it's been introduced by both Tommy and Logan, his consistency is the question. And if he can show up in these big games. In the big games where they need the Dolphins to win, it's just a no-show. You know, like, he needs to have one of those games. And I'm not saying going out there for over 350, 400 yards passing. If he does that, then watch out for the Dolphins. If he can come out there and give you guys more than 350, 400 yards passing, that's a winnable – that should be a winnable game for the Dolphins. But if he can just, you know, manage – and I don't like to use this phrase as a game manager, but I have to in his instance. If he can just manage the game as best as possible, don't turn the ball over. I think the Dolphins could do some work now. Looking at the side of the coin that I introduced and Tommy added on to is Arian Foster. Arian Foster has been injured almost every single season that he's been around this league, you know. And 2013 to 2015, he played 25 games in a matter of what? That's three seasons, right? So he missed 23 games. He missed 23 games. In which he missed 12 last season because he got injured early, even though he was off to a good start, but then he got injured and missed the remainder of the season. And in which, when he came onto the scene from 2010 to 2012, he played a total of 45 games, and he missed only three games there, and had a tremendous burst onto the scene with 41 touchdowns scored in the three seasons played right there. He's 29. He's a year away from, you know, hitting that wall that a lot of people try to throw out there when running backs in the NFL, once they get to 30, it's like that walk, and they do better. And I haven't really seen too many running backs do well in the league anyway after 30. Even LaDainian Tomlinson, when he went to the Jets, I mean, he played after 30 and didn't have that extra oomph, you know, that extra gear that he needed to get past people. So, I mean, he's getting up in age also, but I still feel like he's a legit home run hitter. He'll make defenses chase him if he gets the right spacing. There's a lot of pressure on his offensive line, which that's what they worked on in this draft, was picking up pieces for that front line also. So I think it's literally in that offensive backfield for one Tannehill to prove that he could be with the likes of the hierarchy. I don't even want to say just in the league with a Tom Brady and so on and so forth, which they are fortunate to see Tom Brady be suspended for the first four games. And also with Arian Foster, they need a consistent running game. So the Dolphins, I can't even really literally think of when they had a consistent running game, and it actually hurts me to say that because I'm a diehard Lamar Miller fan. I always wanted to see Lamar make it, and Lamar really didn't crush the scene. Even though if Lamar seen daylight, it was a touchdown. At least every time I've seen Lamar see daylight, I don't know too many people that could catch him. But now Lamar's gone. This is his shot, being Arian Foster, to fill the void of an interesting running back and Lamar Miller being a youngster, walk away from the Dolphins organization. Anything else, you know, panning out, whether it be the quarterback, the running back, the defense, anything that you worried about defensively, or the AFC and the AFC East in general?
The only thing I can say I'm worried about with that is Sue. Does he show up every game, or does he take time off, or is he going to do something stupid to hurt his team? Because, Ty, you know this. You're a Lions fan. It's Sue. He's been doing it since he was at Cornsuckers. I mean, it all happened.
And I think it's tough because everybody looks at Sue, especially a lot of people that like to, you know, be the critics to talk about the Dolphins, including myself. I can't lie, because ever since Sue left, it was like me, you know, kind of calling them out, making the move by giving him quarterback money. But they get an interesting piece in Mario Williams on the outside. They got Cameron Wake back, you know, after last season. So they do have interesting pieces. They did lose Grimes, the corner, and everybody knows how his lady friend have been making a mockery of what's been going on in Miami. But I think both sides of the ball have to get it. But I'm partial to Sue because I'm not gonna lie, I'm still a fan of Ndamukong Suh. So even though he left and he chased quarterback money, got what I think it was $119 million at the end of the day, he has to show up consistently for me. Even though it's like, you know, he has that nonsense attitude, like he'll end up hitting somebody after the play or doing something crazy, I don't care whose team he's on in the NFL, you want him to go out there and act just like that because that's contained anger or contained madness, however you want to use that. That's what he's going out there to do and trying to dominate the, you know, in the trenches up there with the Hawks. So if I'm looking at Sue, just to control that as best as he could, don't get into one of those, you know, slap happy situation where you could end up getting a 15-yard penalty after the play because you know referees look at you. You know the referees look at you. But literally, I think everything falls in play with the Dolphins, with them getting a new coach, a couple of interesting pieces moved there. Mario Williams, Cameron Wake on the outside with Sue up the middle. This can be pretty big for the Dolphins up front, at least in their front core. At least in that front core. Logan, anything you'd have to say before we get away from it?
I just got home. Give me a minute.
Okay, I got you. No problem. If you want to fall back into it, let me know. Tommy, anything else in front of the Dolphins before we get away from it?
Nope. But don't sleep on Buffalo in this division. I'm telling you. Watch.
Right. It's interesting that the Dolphins get thrown into this because they just lost Mario Williams. So it's kind of like they transitioned. Watching a big piece of this puzzle move to a contender and a rival, you know, a foe going down there at South Beach. Okay, so since we are in the NFL atmosphere, right? Since we are in the NFL atmosphere, the Deflategate situation and Tom Brady losing the appeal situation, and he's not going to contest it any further. Now the NFL wants to put a chip in the ball just for this season and you know, trying to make sure that they're doing everything by the book, at least by the measure of the ball. I want to see how you guys feel about this. You know, if this could make or break the situation. I'm already getting messages about, you know, some of the topics that we're hitting on Sports City, so they are out there listening. Thank you for everybody that's been shouting us out. But your thoughts on the new situation that the NFL is addressing, that they will be placing a chip in the football in this upcoming season. Tommy, I'll go to you first until Logan lets me know that he's okay.
One, the chip going into the football has nothing to do with the inflate of the ball. They are doing this for the preseason of this year and the Thursday night games. This right now is for the ball, for data and to watch the ball that they can pull up and see how about the goalposts. See how close the ball comes to the goalposts. It's very complicated. You have to read the article that ESPN put out. And in the near future, 2017, 2018, this chip could be used for marking to help the officials mark the ball downs. If the ball goes out of bounds, fumbles, where the guy fell when he fumbled the ball, where the ball was at for the goal post when this guy reaches for over the goal line for stuff like that. This has nothing to do with the inflation of the ball at all.
Okay, Logan, your thoughts on the new address situation that the NFL will be putting a chip inside the football. Your thoughts, if it has anything to do with the game or, you know, style of situation that could be happening soon in the league?
I don't know. I think it could be both good and bad. That's quite insane on my mark. That's really something that I have to witness and see how it plays out because, like I said, it could either be both good or bad. So
now, and this is the interesting reason why I look at it. So we have a Deflategate situation that happened 2 years ago. And since the NFL kind of got pushed by the wayside last year and they had to let Brady play the duration of the season last year, and they end up coming out on top of the situation to start this season. Now they introduced the chip situation in many different facets like Tommy just addressed. But it's like 2016 going into 2017, over, 80 years of play, over 90 years of play in the football league, and you now want to address a chip while technology is at its all-time high. And now I kind of join all of the sports together. You mean to tell me that in baseball they never had, camera views or angles to call gameplay or situation? If there's a tie at the plate or a tie at a certain base, they'll use camera view and call a player out of safe, so on and so forth. Now you have a chip in the middle of a football game to mark if he's, crossed the first down marker or where the ball may be spotted, so on and so forth, to quote unquote use to help better judgment on the field. I'm not buying it. I feel that something is funny going to happen in one particular game. Not to say that it'll happen in the Super Bowl or happen in a meaningful playoff game, but it can happen in a meaningful regular season game where somebody's fighting for, positioning in each division, so on and so forth. Something crazy could happen, and I don't know what could happen, but just mark my words, Sports City, I feel there's something in the air. Wink, wink. And I'm not even going to say the air like that in the football because it is, kind of tied into the Deflategate situation, which I know they're not using it for the Deflategate purposes. But I feel there's something in the air with this, that right now they could have been put a chip in the football, people. They could have been had this situation taken care of, whether they wanted to use this as a ball marker or where the guy got tackled, where the ball may have been. Stop it. Like you guys just stumbled into technology now in the 2016 era. Really? Really? I don't know. Anything else before we get away from that topic?
I got nothing.
Okay, okay. So I did want to get those out there. I know that Tommy was pretty ecstatic on everything that went down yesterday with the Mets and the Cubs also. But I do want to let you guys get some of your topics out there as well. I do have the Lesnar situation, but I feel like we've been beating him down crazy, unless y'all do want to get into that. But I'll start throwing this one around. Tommy, I'll let you have at it. The grill is yours.
Yeah, I was actually joking last week about Clayton Kershaw not pitching Thursday like he was supposed to, just because I didn't want him pitching against my Nationals. News broke, I'd say, 2 hours before show came on that Clayton Kershaw will be shut down. He threw a simulation game, I believe it was Monday, threw a simulation game. He is still having back pain. So the Dodgers have shut him down for however how long. They're not saying how long. They're not saying if it's a rest of year. They're just saying until he feels better. There are reports coming out that he does have a slight herniated disc. I'm telling you, as someone that's dealt with this, had a father that's dealt with this, uncles, cousins, this is no joke. He may be out for a while. And this hurts L.A. big time.
Now, we actually sat up here talking about Arian Foster and things of that nature. We need to look at guys that are on the bump like Kershaw and guys that consistently get injured, even though he's not big into this conversation, but Lincecum is another name that you could throw in there, and guys in baseball that get injured left and right also. I mean, is this a situation where they need to start looking at Kershaw closely, especially with how much money they have invested in him moving forward? I mean, especially for them to come out of the gate in L.A., they're still in range to make a move. They're still in range to make a move, even though it's been said in the kitchen that they feel that the Giants should be able to take care of business in the division, but the Dodgers aren't, you know, to be overlooked. But their stud, their workhorse pitcher, consistently is out, you know, consistently or missing time in, you know, a season-by-season basis. Like, I mean, is this something that they need to look at closely? I mean, do they need to start pulling him out of the rotation and giving him some room? Do they really feel like they're overworking him? Because by the time he gets to the postseason, we know what's happened to Kershaw in the years past. He's been getting rocked. He's been getting rocked. So is this something that they look at closely before they actually start approaching? Well, we're actually almost near August. We're 12 days away from August.
I don't remember him ever being hurt a lot. And if you consider him losing a game 1-0, 2-0, being rocked in the postseason, then what the hell, huh? It's not his fault that his teammates, the players that are getting paid to score runs for him in the postseason aren't doing it. He gets all this. Yes, he's the big guy for in L.A. But it's not his fault. If he goes out and pitches a 1-2-0 ball game and his teammates don't do their job, how does it come back on him?
He's had to deal with injury before in seasons past in trying to make his way back in time, which he has. And I do give him, you know, leeway because he busts his tail to get back. He's had back situations that he had to come back from also. So not to say that it was anything in his elbow or, you know, Tommy John surgery, nothing like that. But still, yeah, this is something that they dump money into this guy. And now more than ever, they need him. Now they need him to make this run to get at the Giants. Because just like you said, Tommy, you really feel like San Francisco is going to win the West. I mean, what else
are you doing? They're winning the West.
Excuse me?
I said they're winning the West.
San Francisco or the Dodgers? The Dodgers or the Giants?
The Giants.
Okay.
And I still say the Dodgers do not make the playoffs.
So you think they missed completely?
Yes. I said it from the beginning of the before when we did the preview show for the baseball. I've said it. Dodgers do not make the playoffs. And this could hurt them tremendously if he's out for any distance of time.
Well, you're doing good right now. I wonder.
Yeah, they're also beating up on a kid that's 20 years old and just moved up from the AA. So calm down. If they want this win and they're happy at beating a kid that just moved up from AA, congratulations, LA. Woohoo!
Hey, I'm not feisty. I think they're doing good right now. I can't say that. Can I say that? It just the game just started. Right or wrong? Yes or no? I don't want any problems. I don't want any problems. I don't know, Logan, anything that you have to say to this, or do we spark you up on any topic that you like to throw out there or address here at the cookout?
With all love, I do not watch baseball, and I take naps during baseball games, at the game or on TV, so carry on.
Okay, so yeah. I know you may still have some of that cane juice flowing, or if you wanted to throw NFL, NBA, anything you like here at the cookout, the floor is yours.
Hey, I'm always down to talk Hurricanes.
So what's on your mind tonight? Let us know what you want to throw out there.
Well, my good old buddy Tommy, I know you're a Hurricane fan. Actually, me and you love the Hurricanes. Ty just likes them. I want to hear your thoughts and what you truly. I want to hear what you truly think about Manny Diaz and what he's going to bring to our defense. I am actually very confident in his defensive coordinator.
I'm confident in him, but I'm hesitant too at the same time. And this is why. Look what he did at Texas his last couple years when he was literally fired during the middle of the season. And everybody knows, besides all the talent that's in South Florida, they've got almost the same talent in Texas. And they're Texas. They can pick them out anywhere they want. And, hey, you want to come? Okay. You want to come to Texas? You want to come to Texas? Now, I'm not saying A&M and TCU's coming up and all, but I mean, I think the D-line is going to be ferocious. Ty's in for a rude awakening.
Mm-hmm.
I'm worried about linebackers just because of the depth, and I'm worried DBs because of the depth. Otherwise,
I'm
a little
worried about linebacker size,
too.
Good average weight. For a college linebacker, this is around 240, in my honest opinion.
I know this much. The freshman, the incoming freshman, Shaq. Dude's
yes,
everything I've heard and watched of him, the dude is going to be for real. He will not. He's going to clean some clocks.
Mm-hmm.
Dude can fly.
I also heavily think, honestly, that if our offensive line have a good year since God knows when, I think, honestly, Brad Kaya is going to be in Heisman run. He's already on the Maxwell. Yeah, he's on the Maxwell watch list right now. I think he definitely
has
a chance.
He's on the Davey O'Brien, or he's on the quarterback watch, too. What is that? I just posted it, too.
I think him and Joe Yearby are on the Maxwell Watch List Award.
Yeah.
So, what are your thoughts, Ty?
Well, this is a personal situation that I look at, but due to the fact that he's been away from that university for some time, I feel like the air may be clear on the situation. But looking at his you know, bounce around resume, if you will. He's been from, you know, place to place. He had a short stint for the past couple of seasons going from Mississippi State to Louisiana Tech. He spent two seasons in Texas being a coordinator as well. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, he's coming from the Big 12 and the SEC also. I mean, he's seen interesting runs. So, I'm up in the air about it. I'm up in the air about it. But it's one thing about Miami getting former Florida State coaches that bothers me. It just bothers me a lot. I don't feel comfortable with it at all, especially a guy that's come from a team that, you know, helped try to knock Miami flat to be a guy that tried to inspire this team to get over the hump. Because Miami, it bothers me to say that they are trying to rebuild this defense. As much as we love this team like that, I'm not one of those guys that, you know, feel like they're going to come out flying off cylinders and you know.
I don't either.
Be that 11-1, 12-0 team. You know what I'm saying? Like, I would love for it to happen. I would want this coach to get this team fired up and, you know, kind of eat off of what Mark Richt is cooking. But I really feel like this is a situation where they got to build this up for, like I said the other night, like a 2 to 4 year run. Like a lot of people think that this could be next year. I would love for it to be next year. I would. They got a lot of pieces in play to make things happen right now. But like I said, I'm worried about up front. First and foremost, they got to have a defensive front that can stuff these running lanes and then have these linebackers that can actually, you know, contain or stop these runners as best as possible, because the ACC is a running back conference, like it or not. Like it or not. I mean, of course, you got quarterbacks that can throw the ball, but the best thrower in the ACC is Brad Kaya. So we already got somebody that can throw it, whoever wants to throw the ball. We got to be able to slow down their run game and have somebody come out the backfield. And I'm not the biggest year B guy. I'm not. I mean, I love what Joe brings to the table.
Love Yerby.
I'm a big fan of Yerby, man. Yerby.
I love Yerby. He's a great running back.
Yerby reminds me of Reggie Bush. If you get a fingernail on him, he'll go down. He has to show me strength. Of course, he has daylight speed. Like, if he sees daylight,
you guys are going to be running.
He's got strength.
When he ran through tackles?
Yeah.
Did you not watch the Nebraska game when he ran through tackles?
I've seen him a lot of times get caught with one hand at the line of scrimmage while the dude was getting blocked. A lot of times. That's frustrating, especially if he has a gap. How many times have you seen him getting up off the ground, slapping the ball, if he sees daylight?
I'll say this. Miami will have the best front four. We will have the best defensive line in the ACC.
Definitely. I do agree with that.
With Chad Thomas.
Okay, go ahead.
On the one end, Muhammad on the other end, and then you plug in whoever you want to tackle, because who knows who's getting that. I'm telling you. Florida State had problems blocking us the last 2 years. Oh, that offensive line, I feel sorry for whoever's quarterback.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to say the big difference between this and the Golden Era is, as you guys saw, when errors were being made on the field, whether it was coaching or player errors or calls between the team, it wasn't really diagnosed and fixed. It would happen every game, year after year. I think that with this new staff we have, adjustments will be made throughout watching film after the games. And I also wanted to throw out there, look out for Malcolm Lewis, number 9. He's going to surprise a lot of people this year. Malcolm Lewis, and like you said, Muhammad on the defense. Muhammad is a beast.
Yes.
Hey, have you heard, I haven't heard the last slogan, have you heard anything about the receiver Mullins? Is he cleared to come in, or are they still waiting on the clearing house?
The who? I'm sorry?
The clearing house, the NCAA, the clearing.
Yeah, which receiver did you say? I couldn't hear you.
Mullins.
Marlon, I have not heard anything about Marlon. No, I have not. I've heard a couple things about Dayall Harris. I've heard some good things about Dayall Harris so far.
I know they're waiting because of his test. Last I heard, his test scores
wasn't going to be high enough. Then I've heard his test scores were high enough. So I'm not sure what's going on. If we can get him into this wide receivers crew too, I'm telling you, the future looks good. And everybody can say what they want about Mark Rick. Ty can vouch for me. I have been hollering for this guy for years.
I got to say one more thing. Look out for Njoku.
As soon as I heard that Golden was fired, I literally called Ty and told Ty to sit down. He's going to love this. And I came on to the show that next day and said, we need to go get Mark Rick. He's done well so far recruiting.
And I deal with people that at that time were big Golden fans, and I haven't heard from the person since. I know we all know, and he actually was a name and notable around Sports City. He used to come here a couple of times, and NJ. NJ was a big Golden supporter and fan, and it was like once Golden got the axe, I didn't hear from him. But nevertheless, I do want to ask you two this question. Since both of you support Yearby, I want to give him a fair number. And I don't want to use Vegas as much as I should, but I will. I don't like to, you know, throw them out here in the talk that we have. But do you think Yearby has the capability to have over 850 yards rushing next season? Over, under? I'll go with you first, Tommy.
Oh. 800. See, with what we're stacked at running back with Yearby. You've got Edwards. You got Gus Edwards coming back. You got Mark Walton. You've got Gray. See, a lot of people are talking about Gray. So you've got a four-headed monster that I think that what's going to happen is Rick is going to rotate a lot of them in and out. I don't think really any of them come close to 800.
Exactly.
I think he'll rotate them in and out so much. Unless one gets really, really hot, he may ride with them, with one of them. But I don't see any of them getting 800, anywhere near 800 yards. Personally,
okay,
I think he rotates them in and out.
So let me do it like this then. Since it's an under. Both of you will say under, right?
Yes.
Who is the starter at the beginning of the season?
Mark
Yearby.
We have a mix of opinions. So Tommy said Yearby, and Logan said Mark Walton.
But
okay,
then I wouldn't
count
out Gus Edwards either.
Exactly.
Right. I want to see how Gus is running with that knee, man. I really do, man. I mean, I see him at the
orange
in the
way. Summer.
That spring game,
he looked good. He was running people over.
So do any of you want to explain why you went with Yearby or Walton as the starter?
Well, honestly, I think it's going to be a battle between these upcoming practices and stuff to really decide who becomes a starter. But just seeing Walton in the game versus the way Yearby has played in games, I think Walton's really going to be the starter. That's my honest opinion. They're both very talented running backs, and I think they both have different styles. Mark Walton is very fast, and he can straight up cut flat-footed and go the opposite way instantly. But I think Mark Walton is more injury-prone than Yearby. But the thing about Yearby is Yearby can run dudes over, and he also has great vision and remarkable speed. But I think Mark Walton is going to have a great year. And like Tommy was saying, I think Mark Walton will probably go for about 600 yards this year, maybe. But it's going to be – this depends how Gus Edwards plays, because when I was watching Gus play for Miami before he was hurt and everything – he was a very great running back, regardless of his size and height. He had great speed, and he had amazing plays. But you got to remember, Yearby, he had a great season last year, and he also cracked 1,000 yards rushing. So, you know, I give a great credit to Yearby.
However, now that we have four running backs, all talented and very, very talented in play, I think it's going to be much more split and dynamic.
Okay, Tommy, and your thoughts on why Yedley should be the starter and how you see the outcome of the season panning out for at least the stable of these running backs?
I really think it comes down to Yerby is a better receiving back coming out of the backfield.
Mm-hmm.
He fits what I've seen Rick do in Georgia. I'm not taking anything away from Mark Walton. I like Mark Walton. If you really think about it, Mark Walton should be a freshman coming in this year because he should
exactly.
have been in high school last year. And he somehow graduated real early and was able to get into the university quick. I mean, take nothing away from him. Yerby's just, I think, more of a power back and more than Walton. Take nothing away. I like them both. Like them both. I've seen them both play in high school and everything. I mean, think about this backfield. There was Cook from Florida State and Yerby both played on the same high school team together. How would you like to be that? I mean, wow.
Well, another thing I want to throw into is I think Mark Walton and us being so short in our receiver core, Mark Walton also has great catching skills. He had a lot of great plays last year as far as catching the ball. But, like, number-wise, I think the way I see it is Walton is going to play about 50% of it, Yerby 30%, and then Edwards 20%. But that's just, you know, that's my estimated guess right now.
Okay. Anything else that you guys like to discuss in front of the Canes? I'm going to say college atmosphere because I did throw this out there yesterday, and I want to see how you guys feel about it today, though. But if you guys have anything else that you'd like to throw out, whether you feel like Coley will have a blow-up season, how many yards do you think that Kyle will throw for? I could throw all of these out here. I have all of this written for, you know, Miami topics to keep feeding you guys. If not, I can move elsewhere, but I do have more.
It's not college topic, it's an NBA topic that broke in a certain team that somebody in here follows, OKC. There is
Who's
reports.
That?
I don't know. There are reports that they are willing to give Westbrook a contract, an extension of contract, 2-year, 3-year deal. They told Westbrook that they can bring in Blake Griffin to run with him. I mean,
well,
I don't see Blake going back to Oklahoma. I know he's from that area. He went to school there. I personally think in the long run, there's nothing to do in Oklahoma City. I mean, everybody has said this. There's nothing to do. Everything shut down early. I think the NBA personally has hurt. Is going to be hurt in a soon. They really, I think, should have kept that ball club in Seattle. Personally.
Well, it's back to meet meet, right? Right. That's what you want me to say, Logan. You want me to, like
meet,
you
meet.
Said, like, meet meet. You want me to say? Yeah, I give it to you. Now. I do it. I do it just like that on there since they want to throw my personal stuff out there. Because I do that personally. I don't talk about them like that on here. However, it's tough for me because I would love to see Blake on the floor, especially because he is from Oklahoma City. He's from not the surrounding area. He's from Oklahoma City. That's his town. And they've been flirting with that forever. But it's the same story with Russell Westbrook going back to L.A. because he's a Long Beach guy. So he's from that area. And everybody's like, oh, we'll clear the roster out to get him back on the Lakers. Or, you know, I think it'd be more comfortable to see Blake back in Oklahoma City. But now that you built a situation around Ennis Cantor and how Cantor's actually blossomed into a great player, but Blake Griffin is an all-star and his his health is a big question, too, if he can stay on the floor. And hopefully he doesn't get into a fight with the ball boy. I mean, you were 80 to $90 million dude, and you breaking your hand on the ball boy's head. Like, man, to me, Blake is always going to be a bull in the china shop. He can hit jump shots. I would love to see him play more defense. But I'm, and Logan knows this, and this is actually good that you bring this up for Logan's sake of him being on air, but I don't want to watch Westbrook leave if I've already seen KD leave. There's no way I want to see both of them go, because then his life after, it's similar to like how I had to live, after like 2001 when I watched Gary Payton leave, and he was the last piece of the Sonics when we had Sean Kemp, but Sean Kemp left after 97 after Cleveland threw him all of that money. That's when the Cleveland Cavaliers ended up getting Sean Kemp real sad. I still remember that. I was like, Sean Kemp used to be one of the best athletes I've ever seen. He went to Cleveland, took all that money, and, you know, the rest of history, Gary Payton ended up leaving four seasons later. This is the same situation that they're in front of. Watching KD leave and could potentially watch Westbrook leave at the same time. I don't want to see it happen. I would love to see them hang on to him. And they're saying that they're trying to throw him the house on this deal if he doesn't end up staying in Oklahoma City. But I don't know. I really feel like either A or B could have happened. I think the conversation with Kevin Durant and Russell happened, and Russell probably said, I'm not coming back after the deal. Then David Aldridge gets involved and said, well, he said there's no chance that Russell's coming back. But maybe Russ maybe said that to get KD out of the way, or KD wanted
well,
to see Russ leaving and try to come back.
They have not talked.
Well,
Durant has not talked since they lost to Golden State. They have not spoken to each other at all.
Westbrook hasn't expressed any desire to leave OKC either. And I think with Kevin Durant leaving, if OKC can make some moves, I believe that gives Westbrook a chance to show that he can do it without Kevin Durant. You know, like, in a sense, I think it's going to make Westbrook a better player than he already is with Durant leaving.
Right. Now, and that is the big piece of the puzzle that I've been wanting to say. But, of course, my little brother said it before me. I think that if Russ gets his mindset to stay in Oklahoma City, this is where he can prove that he is top three or the guy to win that MVP trophy. Because the season that he had last year, there's no way that he was fourth in voting. He was fourth. That's unanimous. I don't even know how not one of the voters wanted to vote for Russ at all. Like, so it was all off. It was all 3-point shooting. Let me just say that. It was all 3-point shooting. So if you shoot the three ball at an amazing clip, you can win the MVP. What else did Steph do? I mean, his team was great. Yeah, Golden State was great. They won 73 games. And I don't even want to overplay that 73 games. 73 wins is, you know, an afterthought. That's the best season we've ever seen. His assist numbers, his steal numbers, he stole the ball in a great clip. Everything on the stat line that you could look at, Russell outplayed him, man. Except scoring the ball a night, and he had KD on the other side with him. And you got to think about this. Russell's getting those triple-doubles done, and you can't even think of another big-time star in Oklahoma City. That's another situation I look at. So it's interesting that Oklahoma City's throwing that out. If they could get Blake Griffin to play with Russ, and knowing these guys are both, they got similar style of play of basketball, I would love it. I would love it, but I don't know if Oklahoma City could get him back there. Like, I feel like Blake is comfortable with Chris Paul and DeAndre and company. And that's just me. That's just me.
I got a good question for you.
Wait, a really good question.
I want your honest opinion on it.
Okay.
So how do you compare, and I already have my feelings on this, and I'll be glad to vent them after you, but how do you compare, this is big, Kevin Durant leaving to Golden State versus LeBron leaving the Heat and going back to the Cavs?
Wow.
Well, like, what are your thoughts? The differences between the two moves.
This is huge because it hasn't even been addressed to me in the kitchen. I respect that. wow. Here goes the personal. I can't even just analyze this because I personally got to look at it because I'm attached to the situation. I know that Kevin Durant is chasing the ring. Everybody that puts on an NBA jersey, at the end of the day, they all want to get a ring. And seeing everybody celebrate and dump champagne on each other, so on and so forth, so be it. Now, I understand the move. I don't respect it, if you understand where I'm coming from. Like, I understand that he wants to get a championship. I understand that the best situation for him would be in a team that all four of them, not five of them, because they're going to have a big in the paint, unless they really do play that small ball and have Iguodala swimming around the three-point line, and all five of them will be around the perimeter, which will suck. But that's the basketball that it's looking like it's going to end up being. And they share the ball because they're all willing passers, which things will frustrate KD if Russ was going off. Let's just say Russ had one of those 34-point nights and he looking like he about to go for 40. And KD like, well, I got 27. I want to get 30. And Russ keep going to the rack and he dunking on somebody. Like, I don't know how that would bother somebody. But knowing that KD's a pure shooter and seeing Steph shoot the ball like he shoots it, see Klay shoot the ball like he shoots it, and Draymond being a big that can step out and shoot the ball with consistency, I feel like he feels like he can fit right into that situation. So, I understand it, but there's no way I respect it. Now, looking at LeBron's situation, that wasn't just LeBron. That was Wade setting up a dinner with Chris Bosh and LeBron. Like Wade did that before Pat Riley got involved, before Spoelstra came out of the video booth, because Spoelstra wasn't even a coach. Spoelstra was looking at videotape. So Spoelstra had nothing to do with that either. So it was more or less Wade getting that thing to happen. It's personal. So I'm not even trying to be analytical. I can't. And looking at the situation that the Thunder were in, being up 3-1, everybody that knew me, everybody that came to Sports City, everybody that seen me on the street, everybody that come to the barbershop talking while I'm getting my hair cut, say, Ty, like, I can't believe it. Ty came in his barbershop, CU Park. I got to come talk to you. You guys up 3-1. I'm like, look, you can have everybody that seen me. I said, I'm not trying to get pumped up at all, no matter what. Even these two, because they see me on Facebook. When we was winning them games, we won game one, game three, game four, I wouldn't even say nothing. I just kept putting up good morning. It's like I'm trying to stay calm because I look in my head and by myself, I'm jumping, my feet are on the ceiling. Like I was moonwalking on the ceiling. You know what I'm saying? Then I said, but we can't let them win game five. If they win game five, they're going to feel like they got their mojo back, and we can lose the series. They won game five at home. Game six came around. The guy that was missing the most shots that I've ever seen in the middle of Oklahoma City was Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant was 6-for-31 in that game. I'm not even talking about the defensive side of the ball. They lost by 11 points. So you mean to tell me Kevin Durant can't hit six more shots to win that game? He was 6-for-31. And all of the shots that he missed were, like, crazy misses. Like it wasn't like he was shooting it and was a hand in his face or they were contested. He was taking shots that he wanted to, but it was like he was doing a leg kick, and it just looked weird. It looked weird. And they lost game six, and Klay had that explosion coming out of halftime. He had that explosion to keep those guys right in the hunt. The Thunder had the lead in almost every one of them games, game five, game six, game seven. They did what they needed to do to get the job done. But, again, like I said, looking at the scenario in front of LeBron, where it was more or less all of them bought in to restructure their contracts, to Kevin Durant not even looking at the dollar signs. Kevin Durant could have got more money staying with Oklahoma City instead. He actually took a bite back to go with Golden State to look at it like, well, I got 1 year to get it done here. Because why would he sign a 2-year deal and opt out after one? What's the purpose?
Right.
So what is he going to restructure his deal in Golden State, or is he going to go somewhere else? You see what I'm saying? Then if he ends up going somewhere else after Golden State, you can't make another move, especially if Golden State don't win a championship. If Golden State don't win a championship and he leaves, don't even worry about me. People, everybody in the NBA or people that watch basketball, how they look at Kevin Durant moving forward. You can't even look at Kevin Durant.
Go ahead.
Yeah, like I was about to say, you can't even look at Kevin Durant. Now, LeBron's situation is different. Even though LeBron may have been the leader of that team in 2007, 2008, 2009, 2010 when he left, you know, LeBron was still young. LeBron was what, 24, 25, 26 in that range? Similar situation with KD. I mean, KD right now is going on 28. He's going on 28 right now. So, like, you're leaving an organization that they built and molded around you. Like, they left Seattle with you. Like, it wasn't like they left Seattle within Oklahoma City and, you know, you came along the way and now they must. No, they left Seattle and knew that this was your organization to move forward. They felt like you were the future and you just left. And they were putting pieces around you. It wasn't even like LeBron. When LeBron left the Cavs, they can't even really tell me three studs that were on that Cavs team at that time. Who, Ilgauskas?
Exactly. That's the big thing I wanted to say is that when KD left, first of all, they had like legit eye-opening chances to win championships. I think he left too early, honestly. But at the same time, the thing that I respect most about LeBron is, believe me, when he pulled the whole, you know, live TV interview, hey, I'm taking my talents to South Beach. You know, it was definitely like, wow, what a move he just did there. But at the same time, at least, you know, you can only do so much. He did what he did, but at least he had the courage and the courtesy to come back to Cleveland and not only come back but promise a championship and bring it back, whether he had – whoever he had on the team is who he had, but at the same time, at least he – made those promises and did the right thing. You know, that's one thing that really, honestly, not only myself, but a lot of other people have respect for LeBron. But the biggest reason why, the biggest thing that I can't understand is how come when LeBron pulled this move, everyone wanted to dog him instead of look at, you know, like take a step back and look at the real picture and the facts and the past. But when KD pulls this, when they were winning 3-1 in a series to the team he just went to, you know, and then he goes to the team. You know, that's something that I can't grasp my hand around. And obviously, I don't care what anybody says. LeBron is the most hated player in the NBA.
You all do know after this next year, who's all free agents, right?
Yep.
Listen to this.
I'm only worried about one of them.
Listen to this, because they're all buddies. And all went over to Italy together. LeBron, Wade, Paul, and that's Chris Paul.
Well, Russell's also in that list too.
Yeah, but he's not going to join it. I'm telling you, before they're all done, they're all three going to play again with each. They're all going to play on the same team.
That's
and
how
LeBron
I feel too.
Has not signed yet. With Cleveland. Now he has said he is opting in. He's playing. I mean, you look at that Cleveland team. I didn't realize J.R. Smith is still out there, a free agent. The head coach Lou is still out there, has not been signed yet. LeBron has not signed back in. Has come out and said he is, but there's no timetable. Telling you, something's awful funny coming up here soon.
I don't believe LeBron can leave Cleveland after winning a championship there. I don't.
Well, he's already said he was staying next year.
Right. If he left after winning the championship in Cleveland, I don't even know if Ohio could look at him the same. I think Ohio would look at it like, you know, I would think we would want a repeat and try to, you know, enjoy the champagne that we pop, you know, since, what, 1964, since Jim Brown was around. You know what I mean? So, like, I feel like that's what they'd be looking at. But at least he brought him a championship like he said he would. Like, I think it would definitely draw even bigger of a situation in front of Kevin Durant if LeBron left right after all of this melee. Oh, well, Kevin Love ain't working out and J.R. Smith ain't signed back and Shumpert's still there. Like, there's so many questions in there. Like, let them fall first before I could see LeBron going elsewhere. I couldn't see him leaving immediately after, you know, sipping that champagne.
I think Wade in Chicago just this coming year, and he leaves.
There's potential for that. There is potential for that. And here's why I say that there's potential for that. One, just like you said, the meeting went down with all of them, you know, having fun and chilling with each other. But two, you look at it like this. They have too much in the backcourt for Chicago right now. They got Rondo, they got Wade, they got Jimmy Butler. And the post that I just put up yesterday, they got Denzel Valentine, the kid from Michigan State. This guy is a stud. They you just don't sit him on the bench and give him, like, you know, a 17-minute night. Like, he has potential to go out there and ball. And, oh, yeah, by the way, a lot of people are overlooking and forgetting. They got Dougie McBuckets over there. Doug McDermott scores the ball at a crazy clip. That boy can shoot. So it's like they got a lot. They got a lot in Chicago. Like, how they make this work, Fred Hoiberg, especially him being the super offensive mind that he's supposed to be. He's supposed to be the offensive mind. I don't know how long this works. I don't. This is crazy to see how this will happen. But I would feel awkward if I seen Wade go there for 1 year, him being back home in Chicago, and just going to Cleveland to be alongside LeBron again to try and get another championship so both of these guys are equal at three to get their fourth championship. It's just too much of that whack, funny movement going on in the NBA. I can't think of when I've ever seen basketball like this.
Who says it's in Cleveland? It could be somewhere else.
So New York or L.A.? The Clippers or the Knicks? Like, that's what you're looking at?
They all could go south. Back to Miami.
Yeah, I think they'd definitely go south. But that'd be like one of the most horrible moves I've ever seen personally, is Wade leaving and doing that. But I also want to throw out there real quick, because you know how much I love you, Ty. Kevin Durant tweeted a few years ago that he said that he does not understand why people are joining teams and building a powerhouse. Let's bring it back to the competition. Those are his exact words on the tweet. And then he wanted to pull that fancy move.
Okay. Of course, what, do you think I live under a rock? Do I look like a caveman? Do you think I did not see that?
But the thing is, it's because it's Kevin Durant and not LeBron. People are going to say, oh, come on, it was 6 years ago. People changed. But if it was LeBron, it'd be, oh, what a – I'm not going to say those words on the radio, but you know what would be said.
Right. No, I understand. I know where you're coming from. No, I don't disagree with you. Not one bit. I don't. Like I said.
After the loss, that a lot of the OKC players were very unhappy with KD, the way he was buddy-buddying with the Golden State Warriors after they beat them.
After? During? I mean, even it was one point in the game that I forget who was at the line. It might have been Oklahoma City or the Warriors. I forget who it was. But Kevin Durant went over to Golden State side and was actually talking with Steve Kerr on different occasions. Like, I felt like that was just too, you know, comfortable of a situation. Like, I really feel like this was all in the works. And they said that this was in the works since 2010, that I guess KD was looking forward to making this move. But at that time, Mark Jackson was there. So, and that's another thing that actually bothered me, too.
What was said in midcourt with Steph and KD when they were talking. And Draymond, I think Draymond was there, too. I like to know what was said.
Well, one thing I do want to throw in there, too,
He probably told him to blow it so he could come there. He probably told him to blow everything so he could come there. Because look how many 3-1s were blown. The Thunder blew a 3-1 lead, and if they could have, there's no, you can't tell me that they were smacked. Listen, every one of those games except game one that they won in the Oracle, they won by, what, 4 points, right? Game three and game four, the Thunder won by 25 and 33. And you mean to tell me they can't win a game.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. But one thing I do want to throw in there is I think between, like, going back to this LeBron and KD situation, I think a lot of it had to do with media, because you know how not only the media but social media is, like, everything that everyone hears nowadays. And when you look at you look at KD's situation when he did what he did, I didn't really see so much, you know, biased articles or posts just completely dogging the guy. However, when you go on his, like, let's say Instagram page,
you know, photos back from 2 years ago even, there's thousands of comments of fans just absolutely destroying him. So I think people in Oklahoma are, you know, they're definitely upset over his decision. It's just not covered, you know, just like, I'm not trying to bring politics into here, but that's pretty much what it is. Like, it's just, it's all about what the media says and what the media covers that people read and then people share. And then that's all that gets shared and talked about. And I think that's why, besides LeBron announcing it on national TV, looking like an ass, you know, I think that's why this isn't blowing out of proportion like LeBron's situation was.
It happened, what, 3 minutes away from me, where he did that interview was in Greenwich, Connecticut, the next city over. He was the next city over from where I am right now. All the prisons, mm-hmm. I-95 was packed, like everybody trying their hardest to get to the Boys and Girls Club. Like, there was no need for him. He could have did that in New York City. He could have went to ESPN. He ran Connecticut. He could have went to the headquarters and made that happen. It was just so much around that. And you know, like I said, I don't put all of that on LeBron. Wade was the orchestrator of that situation. I look at Wade, and I respect both of them. I like both of them when they came in the league. I remember Wade from Marquette. I remember LeBron coming out of high school. Like they wanted to get it done, even though Wade had already got a championship. But there was more involved than just one player making one move. Chris Bosh had to come from Toronto at the same time. Don't forget, Chris Bosh met LeBron down there in South Beach the following day.
Right. Well, another big thing I do want to say, and a shout-out to them Philly Miami fans that we got, is there's no need. Tommy, I definitely want your thoughts after I say this, but there, in my honest opinion, there's no need to burn a damn Wade jersey when Wade made his decision. Wade has been at Miami for how long, getting paid how much, and did at Miami what he did and brought to Miami what he did. There is no need to burn a Wade jersey because he decided to go to Chicago after everything he has done for the Miami Heat and even the Miami City. That is just absolutely ridiculous. Even though it happens with every player that leaves, like your LeBrons, your Kevin Durant's, and obviously your Dwayne Wade's. That's something I definitely want to say. I think some fans honestly shame their team and make their team look bad with the way they act, including Miami Hurricane fans. We all know that.
Don't let it be an authentic jersey or an authentic jersey that they bought during the year that they wanted. No, serious. Don't let it be an authentic jersey or authentic jersey that they bought the year of the season, because then you think about 20, 30 years from now, that's a collector. You know what I'm saying? Like, you just went up there and burned it because you was mad at them. Like, this. Look,
That's silly, too.
Look, out of all moves that were made,
you can't dog Dwayne Wade.
Right. No, I'm agreeing with you. I got two KD jerseys. I got three Russell jerseys. Even if Russ left, I wouldn't even burn a jersey. Like, this, like that's whack. Like, people are crazy. There's too much money to be spent on these authentic. These ain't no
damn right.
$50 to $90 jerseys. I don't know what type of money I got. If y'all could just burn
hey,
a
fun fact right now. Fun fact. Excuse me. I'm so sorry to interrupt you. But fun fact right now, I still have my Jacory Harris jersey, pro combat jersey. It was the that
now
was the year we
jersey?
Wore the orange.
No,
hey, hold on. You have no idea how much I paid for that. And this is when I was in high school. I didn't have money. Man, this is the one. This is the pro combat that had the orange stripes and then on the numbers, and it was broke off with black on the bottom, and it had the orange stripes on the sleeves. And the collar read the U in silver. Yeah, I have that jersey, and I've never worn it, but I think once when I was drunk at a Miami game.
That
I have
that
jersey, and I will never burn it, man.
I just say it.
I look at it as Ken Dorsey's. It's Ken Dorsey's number.
Ken Dorsey, my favorite quarterback out of the U. I'm sorry. But Jacory.
See, I have mixed emotions on that. Ken Dorsey was he's early age, but man, you got to look at Testaverde before, you know, you jump into Dorsey. Dorsey had a lot of weapons, and so did Testaverde, man, but oh my God.
Oh, that's not my problem. That's not my problem that he had a lot of weapons. I'm sorry. That's not my problem. Look, you want to know what a lot of the quarterbacks I've seen do at the U? Was lose games. You know how many times I've seen Dorsey lose in a U jersey? Like
I know.
Three times.
I think twice.
Like,
twice or once.
Two, No, he lost. Look, but just think about that. I think it's three. I think the number's three. Just
technically two, because you know damn well us Hurricane fans don't count the Ohio State.
Look! I don't even want to jump into that because they will have to extend the short even further if we get into that stuff. Look. But just like I'm saying, I haven't seen Dorsey lose much. And plus, if McGahee didn't get his knee popped, that game would have been a win. McGahee got his knee popped.
No,
the
official
wouldn't
have waited 8 seconds to throw a damn flying
after
it was more than a second. It was 4 seconds. 4 seconds.
Stop. I told you I'm not even trying to go that route. Look. I'm not. Because I know we'd be on here even longer. Because every one of us would be pissed off. We live in 2002. Don't do this to me. No.
Real quick, shout out McGahee. Shout out McGahee. That's all I'm going to say.
Of course. Look. They had to go with Jarrett Payton, who couldn't run the ball even when we were at full strength. And I feel bad because I respect and love Walter Payton. Like I look at Jarrett and it's like, you didn't get an ounce of what your father had. Like, nothing. Like nothing. Like, you didn't drink the orange juice that he drank in the morning. Like, nothing. That's it killed me. Look, I'm not even backtracking. I'm not. But like I said, I didn't see Dorsey lose too much, and the way that the receiver core bit off of what Dorsey brought. I've never seen Santana Moss so hyped. You know, all of the receivers he had with him from Reggie on down the line. Like they loved Dorsey. Like you could even see them in the U clip and how they all gravitate to Dorsey and how Dorsey was the funny looking quarterback that made it happen on Saturday. Like no. No, Dorsey got the leg up over all of them. Even though let me not even overplay Walsh or Jim Kelly or Tessenberg. Like I don't want to overlook the U. The reason why they call it the U. I don't want to overlook any of them. But Dorsey is icing on the cake. Just think about this: Dorsey could have had another national championship. He could have had three. They robbed the Hurricane and made us play Florida, and we bashed Florida while Florida State played Oklahoma.
Yeah, that was when Oklahoma stopped Florida State, and then we got robbed of Ohio State. I'm very aware. And we also had,
I'm a little off topic, but
you throw it back, look at the Penn State game. I think it was the Penn State game. Where we threw like four interceptions, and then we had another Penn State game, or I think it was the Notre Dame game where we supposedly fumbled in the end zone. Oh, yeah, I'm very aware of how many times we have honestly, no bias, been robbed.
I'm curious to know from both of you, who's your favorite all-time Hurricane?
Sean Taylor.
I don't know.
Sean Taylor, baby. You look at Sean Taylor at Miami, and then you look at what he did while he was in the NFL. Imagine what he would be to this day if he wouldn't have passed. Just take a quick step
Okay, but even in his full career, and I'm related to the Taylor family, so that's like my cousin. So that's the worst part about it. But even looking at Sean Taylor like that, how can you overlook Ray? Like, I couldn't even, as much as I want to give Sean Taylor the head up, man, Ray been taking helmets off. Man, ask Ocho Cinco.
I agree, but have you seen Sean Taylor's Pro Bowl hit?
I know you've seen
the Pro Bowl video.
He hit a punter.
Lord have mercy.
He hit a punter.
Honestly.
Logan, you can hit a punter like that.
It is what it is. Either way, at least he hit. Look at the Miami players this day. Do they hit a punter like that? Hell no, they don't. Regardless of that, this is a very hard question when you look at what came out of Miami. This is really a more opinion question because you got different positions and different stats.
I'm going to tell you a couple of my favorites. I'm not going to lie. Even though I can't pick one, I'm going to tell you my favorite, you know. I was a diehard Santana. When Santana stepped on the scene, I loved it. I've never seen speed like that. When that first game when he got out there against Ohio State up there in New Jersey. Who was first? Santana or Roscoe?
Go ahead.
Who was first?
I'm not going to get on this because it's going to be back and forth.
Santana was first because that game happened in 98. I remember it because I got invited to the damn game. That'd have been the first time I ever seen my Hurricanes play, and I had to go to a damn birthday party. So I had to go. And pissed off because I'm up here in the bar area, and I'm under 21 up here watching the game and watching Miami go to work on Ohio State up there in New Jersey. Seeing that one. Then also, I'm not going to lie, Devin Hester stole my heart. Once Devin Hester started returning the ball, I fell in love. Like
every time I hear Devin Hester, I think of the Louisville game where we were getting smacked, or I think of the Duke returns that he had.
Devin Hester was a phenomenal player.
Hold on. You already gave your answer. You gave your answer, buddy. Slow down. I said, I don't know. So at least you could have left it open and said, I don't know. It could have kept on rocking.
I'm still with my word, baby. I'm 2-6 Sean Taylor.
Look. There's no way I'm falling away from the Meese. I love the Meese. Don't get it effed up. I love Sean Taylor. I can show you my Taylor Union bracelet. I got everything. This is not a game. I'm a Taylor for. If I go down south, they'll tell you that I'm by law. I'm by law Taylor. So that's one. But what Ray brought to the game, like especially, and that was during the day, the cut jerseys at the stomach, and Ray had the black box. I can still remember. I can see Ray right now. Wearing that orange and green, the cut jersey at the shoulder pad, and him laying everybody out. And then coming into the scene in the NFL and being a dominant force right back at the linebacker position where they were putting him in the lights of the conversation with Lawrence Taylor. Think about that, people. Think about that.
Well,
look, and
the thing that I like about
thing
Ray.
That I did, this is the one thing. Look, I still got Jeremy Shockey. I love Shockey. And when Shockey came to the Canyon, that was crazy.
Hold on.
I know you. Of course you hear me. Look. This is the one thing. Hey, look, we can do this for hours. Stop. That's why I said I can't pick one. I can't. But this is what
mine is.
Hold on. Wait. Stop being like this. Both of y'all. Let's stop. Okay, look. This is why I said it with Ray, though. Ray was on NFL Films and said, y'all go for decades and years and years, and y'all talk about Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, great quarterback this, great quarterback that, offenses. He said, but when did y'all ever think about how long my defense been on top of the league, at least top five, year after year after year after year? And ever since he came on the scene in 96, I was like, when was the Ravens not considered a top defense, at least top five in the league? When?
The thing about that, though, is you look at Ray Lewis, man, and the even when he was a player, whether it was at Miami or the Ravens, this guy is, in my honest opinion, one of the best motivational speakers I probably ever seen in my life. And he has the most passion for the game I have ever seen. Ray Lewis, his passion and his motivation, the way that he speaks to players and his team, is the best that I've ever seen. If you want to dig deep into them videos and just stuff that you've seen or can see, it's absolutely insane how much passion and how much motivation he has. One thing I did want to throw in, though.
Hold on. Tommy wanted to go because you already gave yours.
Go
he
ahead,
said
Tommy.
Sean.
I'm sorry. Go ahead,
he
Tommy.
Said Sean. We still have Tommy. Tommy, you still there? You might have
I like
Tommy,
Warren
still...
Sapp.
Ooh.
Dude, I'm telling you, I remember watching him play, and I definitely Florida State. He'd walk up to the huddle and cuss out anybody. You heard it on TV.
True.
Warren Sapp look at you, and he sit there, and he tell you, I'm coming for your ass. You ain't going anywhere. And he sticks you up and he throw you.
Don't forget about Brian McKinney, though. A little different, but don't forget about
they couldn't. No,
Brian
no,
McKinney.
No, there ain't nothing different. They couldn't get around Brian. They couldn't get around him. That's, I can't
Brian
think
McKinney,
that's bad.
He's a beast in the NFL, too.
You can't pick one of these dudes. It's not like that, man. It's not like
hey,
that.
I got a real question, though, because what he asked is very opinion-oriented, and then it also evolves around the position, the stats, the facts, and then you got your opinion. But my good question is, what about New Age? What about your favorite New Age player? new age Miami player. I'm honestly, y'all are probably, I mean, y'all shouldn't dog me for this, but my new age favorite player is probably Duke Johnson, man.
You mean like
Duke Johnson
the,
in the plays
like,
Duke
what,
Johnson
from what year do you, from what year on? Like
I'm gonna
now
say,
or the last
I'm gonna
3 years?
I'm going to say after Coker was gone.
Hmm.
The year when Coker was gone and Randy Shannon came in, we've had
mm-hmm.
so many coaches, I've lost track. But I'm honestly going to pick
yeah.
freaking Duke Johnson, man. Duke Johnson, honestly, you guys can't dog this. When that man touched the ball, something always happened. Aside from him being injury-prone and not stiff-arming nearly ever, Duke Johnson was just, my God, watching his highlight tapes and even, I mean, sometimes I'll get bored at night. I'll get bored at night and watch his I'll watch entire games, like his Boston College game. This guy, he's absolutely insane the way that he could just – he if something wasn't working, he would make it work. But the thing that makes me – I mean, Duke Johnson, he had the ball a lot being a running back. But then you kind of compare him and the way that he made stuff happen. You look at a player in a different position, obviously, but you look at Travis Benjamin. Travis Benjamin was also a phenomenal – new age Miami player. Him and Duke Johnson are definitely right there with each other. But of course, I got to give it to Duke, and the things that he did is just absolutely remarkable.
Wow.
I mean, there is Duke. I like Ray Armstrong too. You talking about a state?
Yeah, but look at what
Ray
Armstrong did, man. Ray Armstrong, he could have definitely been very close to Sean Taylor. But at the same time, this guy was very – I'm going to keep it on the low here, not really on the low, but I've spoken to him. Like, we talked through Facebook. He's very immature and disrespectful, very disrespectful. And that obviously showed, too, off the field with the situations that occurred and then what he did to Miami and then what he had to say about Miami after the changes were made. He is definitely I mean, playing on the field, you know, I definitely give it to you. He reminded me a lot of Sean Taylor, especially wearing the guy's number. But he was very disrespectful and immature off the field, as I got to witness personally as well.
But I mean, at the same time, you look at some Ferns. I mean, it's hard.
It is hard. It's always hard with Miami, man. It always is.
I really have to sit down and think since after Coker.
I mean, you look at Denzel Perryman, too. He's very, very
yeah.
new age Miami. But, oh, my God, Denzel Perryman. And then, honestly, I'm gonna throw some shots. You look at Allen Hurns and just the story that man has
oh
and
God.
What he's doing
yeah.
in the NFL right now. I am
oh
beyond
God.
Proud of that guy. That brings
that's
a smile
mine.
To my
that's,
face
that's
anytime
mine. If
I hear
you wanna, if you want to talk young pups, I'm going to go with Allen Hurns. I got to. And
exactly.
I could already see Allen Hurns in a situation where if Blake Bortles gets it, if he
Allen
gets
Hurns
it down
there. Mike James, those names just bring a big smile to my face, and they make my heart weak.
Mm-hmm.
Allen Hurns and Mike James are just they're a great story to talk about.
If he gets
I don't know,
it, being Blake Bortles,
that would be
wait,
up
wait.
There, too, for me.
No. As much as he got that raw speed, no.
When you look at all the Hurricane receivers, Dorsett's talented but not near all the Hurricane receivers that we've had.
Yeah, Dorsett got 4.1 speed, and it's like the one thing that will forever stick with him is that Notre Dame game, forever. Forever.
Yeah.
He was burning dudes wide open and just dropping passes. Like just dropping
yep.
passes. Like and it's like forever. Everybody still thinks back, well, what happened in that Notre Dame game? And it's like you all
I got a question.
Think back about
the,
oh,
was
wait,
this the bowl
wait,
game?
Wait, Jesus.
Was
wait,
this the Notre
on,
Dame bowl game?
No, this wasn't the bowl game. This was the regular
okay,
season
okay.
game in Chicago. Now
carry on.
I'm trying to carry on. But now, like I said, if Blake Bortles gets it down there in Jacksonville, he has a core. But his number one option right now is Allen Hurns. And the reason why I like Allen Hurns, when he came out in the draft, I was saying, Detroit, please get him. Please get him. So Calvin can teach him something, and that'll be a hell of a tandem. Of course, here you go. You know Detroit went and did something bonehead crazy. And Allen Hurns didn't even get picked up in the draft. It's like, wait, hold on. Y'all really overlooked this guy, and now he's a stud and the guy in their receiving core over Rashard Green, even though Robinson's there. They got Robinson there. Allen Hurns is that dude in that Cowboys.
Yep. He's got a great story too, man. Like, you look back, like, honestly, when you take a step back and you realize the age of these kids and what they've been through and what they overcome and then accomplish in both college and then moving into NFL, when you look at somebody like Mike James, who I got very close to at a game, and Allen Hurns as well, it's, man, it's really inspiring. It's really inspiring.
Okay, well, we already reached the tail end of the show. See, this is what they do. They come and throw that orange or green around, man. They don't have nothing else to do but turn into a damn vampire, too. I can't take it with me, too. I can't.
Hey, though, without Patrick, I think his name's Patrick, I think it was a little bit more civil.
Right.
I did miss him, though.
Right.
I'm not going to lie.
Oh, here we go. Look. I need plugs to close off from the two of you before we shut it down here at the cookout, man. We're near the time limit as it is, but I'm gonna try and let everybody get their close off as need be. So Logan, I'll let you go at it again. You and your hurricane talk. This is what I'm talking about. He's lucky he's the cookout. I'm gonna start limiting his hurricane talk, but I'm getting closer to September as it is, so I know the football stuff is gonna come out more and more.
Yeah, and I also wanted to throw out there, it's unfortunate, but I will probably miss the first two or three games of Miami because I will be conducting training, put it that way. It's very unfortunate. It sucks. It happens every time, unfortunately, for me since I've been in the service for 3 years, but I won't be able to probably watch the first three games. It drives me absolutely insane.
We'll try and tape it for you. We'll do something. We'll do something. Or put a clip up on YouTube so you can see it late night or something. I don't know.
I would appreciate that deeply.
The first two games are only on ESPN3.
Well, the thing is, I'll put it to you this way. I won't even have my phone. I won't even have my phone, unfortunately. I've done all I can, but I've already found out the information I need to find out, and I'll have no way to access even information on who won the damn game.
We'll write you a letter.
Hey, you're welcome to. I'll be waiting for it. It happened to me last year and the year before. It sucks, but there's nothing I can do. It's out of my control.
Score up and then put my two hands up. How about that?
I would appreciate it if one of you guys can stay in touch with me in somewhat, shape, or form.
We got you, soldier. Look, but all of this stuff that you've been giving me in the kitchen, I don't know. I got to huddle up and think about this one, Sports City. Sports City, should I do it is the question, man. Send us an email at sportscitychefs@gmail.com. Let me know if I should support the soldier. He's been picking on me the past 2 days, you know. I just want y'all to know that. All right. I need a plug and close out. Shut us down, man. You gotta close it down, soldier.
Oh, man, you already know. Big shout out to these two great men that I've been speaking with. And also, like always, I'm going to give a shout out to Randall Hill. Randall Hill is just doing great things with his life. He's working hard on progressing. That's pretty much all I got to say. Thanks for having me on the show. Like always, it's been a blast. I really enjoy coming here. It's civil and fun, and it's a great time to sit there and get other people's opinions on all sorts of topics.
Yeah, civil and fun to him, but I got to deal with the mayhem. Okay, Tommy, plug, promote, shout out, anything. And look, he's laughing. This is crazy. Anything that you like to shut down, shout out. Look, he got me discombobulated, people. I can't even speak. Tommy, you know what to do.
Yeah. Good show. Good talk, Hurricane Football. Gerald, thanks for coming in, Logan. Ty, we got to do a show on Wednesday or Thursday. I'm leaving town Friday. We'll not be able to do the show Friday. So, if not, I'll be back Sunday, hopefully, if everything works out the way it wants. But if not, I'll be in on Monday.
Okay, well, we got some things to talk about. Sports City, sportscitychef.com, that is the website. Check out the interviews, the blogs, the chefs. There are some Hurricanes that have interviews here at Sports City. Go check them out. We'll be back on air. Tommy's telling you, either Wednesday or Thursday, we got to stick something in here. It won't be Hurricane talk. I know that. It'll be baseball. It'll be baseball. I know that. So, I see, Logan, and you was cool with it. We already kicking you out the kitchen. We already kicking you out the kitchen. And you were screaming, Tommy this, Tommy that. Look at this. Look at
y'all
this. Look at
me
trying to hold you down.
See
what I mean? This is what you get. They call it karma, man. I don't mess with her, man. I leave karma alone. Look, wherever she go, I stay far away from her. I try to go the other way. On that note, tell a friend to tell her. See, look, he even break up my closeout sports city. I even let him do what he did. He said he needed people to write a letter for him to watch the game or hear about the game or something. I'm actually giving it thought, and then they cut me off every time I'm doing something on my own network. On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chefs again, and if they don't know, now they
know. What about I be caught in this life? Let's celebrate with a toast and get lost in tonight and make it all light up. Wait until the sun goes down, we gon' make this bitch light up. Even when the sun goes down, I'ma make it go.
Ow, hoes turning heads like owls. I'm the man of the owl. Triple entendre, don't even ask me how. Con Edison Florence next to a high power. Y'all can miss me with the money talk. The smart money's on hold, fuck what the dummies talk. I don't do too much blogging. I just run the town, I don't do too much jogging. The summer's off, the winter too. Top down in the winter, that's what winners do. And to these niggas, I'm like Windows 7. You let them tell it, they swear that they invented you. And since no good deed go unpunished, I'm not as cool with niggas as I once was. I once was cool as the funds was. But these bright lights turn me to a monster. Sorry, mama, I promise you wouldn't kill me, but I would've went insane had I remained the same me. Fuck me, this is true. All I got is this money.
Who would've thought I'd be caught in this life? Let's celebrate with a toast and get lost in tonight and make it all light up.